you've heard that expression, freezing the federal footprint. That's a way of expressing the idea that the federal government has too much office space, too many buildings, too many warehouses. And so the administration and prior administrations have been trying to rationalize that, get rid of all that leased space. I'm not so sure freezing the footprint is the right word. It's more like foot binding, if you look at what they're actually doing to some of these places.
Not only, is that illegal?
Well, in some countries, not only is this building footprint getting smaller, but in a lot of cases, so is the amount of space per person. Well, we have been reporting on that, and readers of our website, listeners to our radio station have been calling in and phoning in and writing in about what they think about it. Our Federal News Radio's web manager, Julia Ziegler, told us what's going on.
A recent House hearing where six of the largest federal agencies were testifying. They told Congress how they plan to really reduce the average square footage per employee. You know, some will reduce office space by as much as 50%. That's pretty big. That's a pretty big, big change, and federal employees have a lot to say about it. But before we get into that, just so you can kind of see where they're going, the goal for HHS is to get to 100 square feet per person.
170?
170. DHS to 150 square feet. That's down from about 200 square feet. And justice is more on the low end at about an average of 130 square feet per employee. Now, these figures are averages, and each of the agencies that were testifying before the committee did remind folks that, you know, some people are going to have larger offices, some are going to have smaller offices, and we should tell people that, you know, when you're talking about square footage per person, this isn't just about their cube. This includes, you know, everything that's in the office space divided up by the number of people in that office, and then they find that average.
Yeah, because a lot of offices have these big common areas where there might be copiers and printers are in one central spot, a kind of a workroom, plus even kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of agencies have big areas where you can go in and, you know, there might even be a dishwasher and a long counter and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, conference rooms as well. I mean, that's another thing. And that's actually,
oh, yeah, them too.
That's another thing that people were actually commenting about on federalnewsradio.com and saying, you know, well, maybe we don't need as many conference rooms, or maybe some of those conference rooms that never get used could be converted into other, you know, uses, or we could, you know, put more offices in there, lease out space, those kinds of things. There's a lot of different, perhaps, options for some of the underutilized space within federal agencies.
And I imagine this is also something that comes about when an agency is upgrading, modernizing, renovating, because if you've got like one of these old historic buildings, whether or not they're beautiful, but they're old buildings, generally the spaces are bigger. And unless they're going to overhaul it, there's not really an opportunity to make some changes.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to see how agencies are doing that. Like you said, Emily, like with GSA, when it redid its headquarters, same kind of deal. You know, they kind of got rid of the walls, this more common office space. And that's one of the things that we heard about on federalnewsradio.com as well. People who aren't used to that. I mean, this is a change. It's funny because I read stories about this, and you know, we working in radio are very used to that kind of common work area where it's a big open space. A newsroom is a big open space. You kind of yell down the hallway to your colleagues, you know, breaking news happens and you got to talk, you know, across the room to people. But that's not most workspaces. It's not most offices. And so some people have a real issue with these changes in how offices are structured. The old idea that office walls are lower, that they can, you know, they don't have a private space to do their work. One gentleman...
Yeah, tell us what they said.
Yeah, one guy named James says, I'm a GS-14 analyst, and all I need is a computer, a phone, a small supply drawer, a small filing cabinet, and enough desktop space to spread out a few documents. An 8x10 cubicle would be more than sufficient, and some of my former cubicles included floor space that I never used. But please, give me the option of a little privacy and quiet time, if only by letting my cubicle walls be 5 feet high. Some people, me included, don't function well in the open space that is increasingly mandated by people who think everyone is or should be an extrovert. By forcing everyone to hear everyone else's conversations and see and be seen by everyone else at all times, GSA and its imitators are making it very hard for certain personality types to do their best work.
I can just hear now Dan Tangerlini is going to call. James who? Who was that?
That could be a pseudonym anyways, we should say.
It's James, really Larry.
James will remain anonymous.
But I think it's a very practical, astute reaction to this. I mean, he's saying basically, okay, so maybe I don't need that big office and I can share this with somebody, but let's have a little bit of privacy and let it be somebody who doesn't talk, you know, isn't a loud talker.
Well, and I think the other thing is that some jobs probably require that, right? For example, you know, when I think back to my college days, and I was one of those people that could not study with music or the television on. I never understood how my roommates could do that. I needed complete silence if I was reading or anything like that. And I think so I understand where some people are coming from when they're, you know, in their work environment and they need to concentrate on something. That quiet time is really important to them. So I get that. And if you're used to that and then all of a sudden the game changes and, you know, your cubicle walls come down and you can hear everybody's conversations. And let's be honest, sometimes they're not always work related. Then all of a sudden you're distracted. So what does that do?
Yeah, those are the most distracting.
Right? So what does that do for productivity and things like that? It's kind of a whole new world that some people have to adjust to.
That's right. Your cheese has moved. We're talking with Federal News Radio's web manager, Julia Ziegler. Now, some people had comments saying that maybe things are getting too small.
Yeah. One person said, you know, my cubicle is 7 foot by 9 foot. Any smaller and I would have to give up my chair. Unless they take away the useless filing cabinets. All my work is done electronically and very few things are printed off due to PII issues. And then another person said, every contractor office I have been
to
has much more space per worker than the government had 5 years ago. I have seen federal workers with spaces basically the size of a Vietnam-era metal desk with a partition on either side of it and the aisle behind you packed like sardines in what amounts to a wide hallway. Don't think he's too happy
The workspace. No, he might go work for one of those contractors then.
Well, I was in one contractor's space in Northern Virginia recently, and it's not a big company. It's doing well, but they had – it's not based here in Washington. It's based in the West Coast, but – their federal office was in an enormous building. They had huge floor space with literally acres of unused, empty cubicles, very high-tech, beautiful place, but only about 10 or 12 people seeming to work in there. And so, you know, corporations make the same errors that the government does with respect to overleasing and underutilizing space.
The difference is that they might be a little bit more flexible in correcting that than a government agency.
Depends on the landlord, I guess.
Yeah. Right. And if you lease or if you own.
Yeah. And that's the other big issue that feds are talking about on federalnewsradio.com is this whole issue of leasing space versus owning space. And people are frustrated at the fact that, you know, if the government owns all of this space that's not being used, why are they then going out and leasing space? I am sure that, you know, a government agency that is leasing a lot of space would be able to tell us all the reasons why they're leasing space rather than, you know, using space that's owned by the government. But that's, you know, that's a big issue for people, and people have questions about it.
Well, I think that's the same thing as a homeowner or somebody who would like to be a homeowner but is stuck renting apartments if they don't, say, have the down payment or whatever else they need up front in order to make that commitment to own a piece of land.
There are lots of people in New York City who rent for their entire lives, wouldn't have it any other way, and they retire with just as much nest egg as someone with a traditional suburban home. I think the government's antecedents in why they lease so much go back pretty far, but I think it's partly because the government is a cash accounting operation. They don't really have a good process for capital expenditures, and it takes several years to capitalize and build a building. And so they just get – it's a pay-as-you-go operation, and that tends to lend itself better, no pun intended, toward leasing.
Yeah. Is there more opportunity for government agencies to lease from each other, though? You know, to lease from – you know, if I'm the FBI and I have unused office space, can GSA, you know, come over and lease from me? And I think that's another question that people are asking. You know, how do you consolidate – and the government is asking these questions, too, and trying to figure it out. There's been at least two hearings recently on this issue, but this isn't the first time we've heard of this. Obviously, they've been working on this for years. President Obama has his Freeze the Footprint initiative in place. So everybody's kind of working towards this goal of shrinking office spaces. But, you know, is there an opportunity to do more of that?
And you got some other good comments. There's one about the government looking at what it has. It seems like people are well-versed in this topic.
They really, really are. It's interesting. I always love looking at the comments on federalnewsradio.com. I think that our users are pretty smart, and they've been doing this stuff for a really long time. So, Tom, that comment that you are pointing out, one gentleman had this to say: they are not likely to get money for reconfiguring all those cubes and moving all that many people around. I am thinking they will do more what DHS has done and push teleworking and hot desking, where you come in 2 days a week and sit at a different desk each week. I don't really see this improving morale or productivity at all, but it may save some office space. I also see them converting more conference rooms into cubicles. My office has removed about 30% of their conference room space in the last few years. We have to schedule meetings in other offices in the area half the time.
That means no eating above the keyboard anymore.
Yeah.
The crumbs thing, that you shake out should be your own crumbs.
I'm wondering how they're, if they remove a conference room or something, what happens to it? Are people moving in and using that as cubicle space? And all I can say is that if a federal manager gets word that they're going to have to reconfigure their offices or squeeze people more in, the best thing they can do for their employees is to get them noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah, or just be, you know,
$300 a pair.
Or just be more cognizant of what that means, perhaps, for federal employees. You know, maybe if managers are open and honest about the process and what it means and what lower cubicle walls will mean and how to handle it and what they can do, maybe that will also help the transition, too, rather than all of a sudden, you know, new furniture shows up and, you know, hey, tomorrow you're going to have to move all your stuff into here. And by the way, you won't have a filing cabinet anymore, so we're going to put that in lockers at the back down the hall so you can't have everything at your desk. You know, I think if you prepare people for something,
sure,
then the transition is a lot easier.